Welcome to the Financial Power Hour with the financial prosperity coach, Christopher Music, who has been a featured guest on CBS, NBC, ABC, and Fox affiliates, sharing his 20-plus years of experience in financial principles and how to apply them to your life and business. And now, your host, Christopher Music.
Well, hi, everyone. This is Christopher Music, the financial prosperity coach, and I'd like to welcome you to the Financial Power Hour here on AM 1380, The Biz. Now, this show was created to help you as business owners, and more specifically, private practice owners, achieve a far better financial experience while you pursue your passions. You see, it's not easy to get out there and to start a business. Those of you who are business owners know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, today, we're just going to have a conversation from one small business owner to another, one professional to another, just about some of the challenges and some of the questions that I get often when it comes to financial matters, investment, insurance, taxes, asset protection, estate planning, how to build a business to sell, all these different questions. And I'm sure you have a lot of questions that you may not be getting the answers to. So I want to take this hour today to share with you some of the insight, some of the basic tactics and rules and procedures that we want to use to achieve some of the more important results as it relates to your financial prosperity. Financial planning is intimate to every single household. It is intimate to you as a business owner, because if we do not handle our money correctly, then we're going to have trouble. Yes. When I was 17 years old, I was in high school and I went to my guidance counselor, you know, the times when they talk about where are you going to go to school, what are you going to do when you get out of here, those kind of questions, right? And she was the mother of one of my best friends at the time, and we knew each other quite well, actually. So I sat down in her office, and she asked me, so where are you going to go to school to study music? And I said, well, I'm not going to study music. Now, by the way, my last name is actually Music, just like it sounds. And yes, that's actually my last name. With a last name like that, it's kind of like a law that you have to be a musician, which of course I am. But in high school, I was a really good trumpet player, and I used to tour around and play, and it was just presumed that I was going to go into either music performance at some conservatory or some music education career. And when she asked me that question, I said, no, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go study business. She says, why on earth would you study business? And I said, well, it seems to me that no matter what you do for a living, whether you're a minister or a teacher, professional athlete, doctor, whatever you do for a living, if you don't understand money, you're going to have trouble. And she sat back, gave me this look and said, I can't argue with that. And so I went to school to study business. Now, if that wasn't enough, I got a master's degree in business administration with more of a focus on finance and economics. And do you know what I learned in all that schooling? I learned how to be an employee of a publicly traded corporation. That's what I learned. I did not learn how to be an entrepreneur, except for one class I took at the master's level. I did not learn how to go out there and market myself. I did not learn how to have the mindset of being a wealthy person. I just had three letters after my name that says I had achieved some level of education. Well, I got out of school. I started a financial planning firm right out of school. Spent 2 months training with a mentor in St. Louis, Missouri. Came back to Columbus, Ohio, put my shingle out and said, here I am. And I starved for 2 years. I had no idea what I was doing. But and I wouldn't recommend that, by the way, for most people to go out there and start a business. But that's what I did. Well, I finally learned how to do some basic marketing, and I used my affinity connections to create a clientele. And since my dad's a minister, I became a professional financial planner for ministers. And over a period of about 10 years, I built a nice practice and sold to my associate in 2002 and moved to Florida. Very interesting result. But you know, I would never have done that had I not learned some of the basic laws, basic truths of this experience that we have as business owners, as private practice professionals. You know, they don't teach us this stuff in school. They don't. So where are we going to learn it? Well, I learned it by the School of Hard Knocks. And it's my purpose on this show to hopefully help you save a little bit of your countenance, a little bit of the skin on your knees, and the bumps and bruises that are attendant to that kind of experience. So I've done a tremendous amount of research, immeasurable amount of research. After I sold my business and came to Florida, I became a business consultant, learned how to build systems in businesses, operations. And I took that training, and when the crash of 2008 came around, I looked at the whole financial system. I said, this is just ridiculous. Why is it that small business owners and professionals work so hard and yet have some failure to bring that value home? Why is that? That's insane. Well, understand this. The system is rigged against you. We know this. I mean, look at the political climate today. It just sums it up right there. So, I took it upon myself, because I wasn't having any fun as a financial advisor in 2008, 2009. And I'm sure as a client of a financial advisor, you weren't either. So I did some research, and I went back 5,000 years of human history to the oldest documents we have on planet Earth, which are cuneiform clay tablets. Cuneiform is a language written with a triangular stylus on clay from the ancient Sumerians. And the oldest tablet we have in existence was found in the city of Nineveh. And it is a tax document. Interesting, isn't it? Tax document. That's how old taxes are on this planet as far as our written history is concerned. Well, let's fast forward that through the ancient Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Greeks, the Romans, the classical economists of Europe, seven world major religions, philosophers, academics, and distill down basic laws that have always worked. And we find that there are basic laws that have always worked. And I codified them in what I call the Golden Route, which is the 21 laws of financial prosperity. And if you want to get a copy of an action guide with those 21 laws in it, go to 21prosperitylaws.com, 21prosperitylaws.com, and download the free action guide. It's been branded for private practice professionals, but it applies to everyone. And those basic laws have always been true. And if you follow those 21 laws, you're going to have a far better financial experience. I promise you that. These are laws. This doesn't matter what government regime we have, what tax system we have, what economy, or any other factor that pervades history. These principles always work. So go to www.21prosperitylaws.com and download that action guide, dig into it, and apply it. And you'll find that you will have a tremendous financial experience. I mean, a couple of these laws are like, understand the basics of economics. People don't even understand what economics is. You know what economics is? Simple. Let's do a test. Do you make money? Yes. Well, you earn it. Yeah. Do you spend money? Sure. You know how to do that? All right, here's a $64,000 question. Do you know the difference of getting your money's worth or not? If you know the answer to that question, then you know more about economics than most advisors advising government today. I know that's a tongue-in-cheek comment, but it's actually not far from the truth. You see, money's only a symbol of value. You create value, You exchange it with someone else of value in the marketplace. Guess what? That's economics. Simple. It's not this talking head stuff we see on television. That's meant to confuse you. No, all laws are simple. All the basic truths are simple. We know this. How about invest prudently? That's our law. It's always been true. Protect your assets from loss. Is that rocket science? Keep your taxes to a minimum. How about that one? Is that hard to digest? No. See, these basic laws are always true. Where we trip up is the application of those laws, especially in the seeming complexity of everything we have going on in our modern financial experience. You see, that is the problem. So, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. And up next, we're going to be digging into some of the tactics we're going to use these basic laws, these basic 21 laws, to help us achieve a far better level of financial success. You're not going to want to miss it. We'll be right back.
Private practice, Millionaire Academy founder, and talk radio host of the Financial Power Hour, P. Christopher Music explains how not to lose the value of your life's work. What you leave behind is not what is engraved in stone monuments, but what is woven into the lives of others. Pericles, 5th century before Common Era, Greek statesman. Your estate is simply all of the assets you own or are entitled to under the law. A good estate plan will ensure your assets are dispersed according to your wishes when you pass. Estate planning includes different types of legal documents and instructions for your friends and family so they can act in your interest with confidence. Proper estate planning will perpetuate your wealth to your family, friends, and charities, and better accomplish the purposes for which that wealth was accumulated. Learn more about how not to lose the value of your life's work when you visit the blog page at pchristophermusic.com. That's pchristophermusic.com. Welcome back to the Financial Power Hour with Christopher Music, online at pchristophermusic.com.
Okay, folks, we're back. This is Christopher Music, and you're listening to the Financial Power Hour here on AM 1380, The Biz. Now, before the break, I talked about these 21 basic laws of financial prosperity, and let's talk about its application. One of these laws is stay out of debt. This is a simple law that's always been true. Stay out of debt. If you look around, everyone is in debt. Now, let's take a look at this real quickly. Do you realize, you know, this is like the Matrix? Think about it. When was the last time our country was debt-free? Well, that was back in the late 1800s when Andrew Jackson paid off the national debt the last time it was paid off. Yeah, it's been that long. And 1913 comes around, and now we have the Federal Reserve putting us back in debt again. So at least since 1913, we've had a debt-based economy, a debt-based society. 1914 comes along, and the IRS is established. And they are the agency that collects the interest on the debt, which is why income taxes exist. So, okay. So now we have a situation where we have a debt-based economy and we have income taxes. We do not know anything else, do we? Unless you know somebody who was around since before 1913. Right. So it's kind of like that, the Matrix, you know, where you're born into a situation that you, or a prison that you cannot see, nor taste, nor touch, as Morpheus would say. Well, welcome. That's where you are. So, having known that, how do we navigate our way through? You see, that's the problem. The natural laws are pretty simple. Stay out of debt. Now, of course, you say, Christopher, I can't stay out of debt. I need things. Well, of course, we all need things. We don't need as much as we think we do. All the luxuries. Come on. I mean, there's only so many ways that you can brand toilet paper, for example. But let's take a look at why to stay out of debt. There's two different kinds of debt. First of all, there's that good debt. That's the debt that businesses use to grow businesses. It's manifestly impossible for a maker of a widget to start making widgets to make money without the equipment to make the widgets. That's ridiculous. Or for a veterinarian to go out there and provide veterinary services without the equipment to do so. So you have to borrow money to get started. I'm all for that. There's economic reasons to do that. However, the consumer debt, for which we have so much in every household in America, this is the mortgage debt. Yes, your home mortgage is a consumable asset. It's not a business. Your credit card debt, your car loans, boat loans, RV loans, student loans, all of these basic consumer debts should be paid off as fast as possible. Because there's no economic reason to have them. The only one that's maybe close would be the student debt, because you went to school, because you have your knowledge, you can earn more in the marketplace. Okay, I can take that argument. Everything else, pay it off. But yet there's a whole industry that has you wanting to keep a mortgage on your home. Well, why? It's not a business asset, or is it? It's a business asset to whom? The bank. The bank is the one that gets the cash flow from your mortgage payments off that asset. They have a mortgage against it. So do you see how a lot of common knowledge, or everybody knows, or the advice we get, it's like, oh yeah, you want to keep that that mortgage interest because you get a deduction for the interest, and it's a good deal. I can't make the math work where that's a good deal. I've been doing workout for 23 years. I can't find it. Pay off your home. Pay off your debt. Because you know, one of the beautiful parts about being debt-free is that you wake up in the morning and you know you do not owe anybody anything. So get online and find a debt reduction software program. Or talk to an advisor who can help you do that. But however it is, get your discipline in. And if you have the goal to get out of debt, then do it in the quickest time frame with the lowest cost. Go after it. Don't just pay any old bill anyway, just like everybody does, because you're going to end up paying a tremendous amount of your wealth to somebody else unnecessarily. You see? That's really important. That's why we want to stay out of debt. Now, how about retirement? Retirement's a pretty big topic these days. And as a business owner, I don't believe in retirement. As a financial planner, I don't even believe in retirement. I believe in financial independence. That's a very different concept. Retirement is from the French word, I think it's pronounced retirer. I hate to slaughter French, but I think that's what it is. And it means to draw back. So how many of you want to get to the point in life where you are at the top level of your income producing ability, the top level of your mastery of your craft, the top level of respect and influence among your peers, only to trade it all in for that proverbial gold watch and retire to the golf course or the beach or some other idea of what the good life is? Now, that's a lie, guys. We all know it, because those of us who go to retire within 2 weeks of being on the golf course, you ask yourself, is this all there is? I know I did it. I did it when I was 32 years old. It's insane. Now, your life is here to produce value to everyone that's still here. So the idea of retirement doesn't bode well with me. I don't think professionals who are really committed to their craft or committed to their service of their patients or clients would ever consider that. No. We're going to get financially independent. That's what we're going to do. So I'm going to share with you the secret of how to do that. You want to know how to do that? It's simple. It's really simple. Here's the deal. Let's say, for example, that you want to generate an income stream that's independent of your business. Let's say, for example, you want a $200,000 a year. Okay, $200,000 a year. How much money would you need to have invested, earning, say, 5% interest to make 200 grand a year? The answer is $4 million, because 4 million at 5% equals 200,000. It's 50,000 per million. All right, good. So we need $4 million. Oh my gosh, that's a lot of money. Yeah, it's a lot of money. Is it impossible? Absolutely not. So here's how you do it. Now we need $4 million. The next question is, how much do we have accumulated? Well, we only have a couple hundred thousand. Well, that's a problem because now you have a gap between $4 million needed and the $200,000 you have saved. That's $3.8 million of what's called the household wealth gap. That's the difference between what you need and what you got. So how do we close that gap? And I'm telling you right now, this is the fundamental of financial planning, at least retirement planning, if you want to call it that. How do you close the gap? There's only three ways. Only three ways. Number one, build your business so that you can sell it for maximum transition value to someone who will pay you a premium for it. And then take the proceeds that you get from that sale and invest it in a way that gives you a reliable income stream. That's how you do it. Number two, while you're earning your money and always working to be more profitable in your business, you're taking a chunk of your earnings every year and you're putting it off the side, like taking chips off the table in a craps game, into perhaps principally guaranteed in programs. And you are in a position where you are protecting the profits you've made every year you're making them. Yeah, you make some return on it. That's great. But that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is the fact that you have money that you've taken off the table every single year. And then finally, get rid of all the waste. Step number three, get rid of the waste. What's the waste? The waste is the money you're overpaying in interest, that you're overpaying in investment fees, that you're overpaying in taxes, and other extravagant expenses like buying stuff you don't use, or being in a position where you are financially enabling children. You know what I'm talking about. All that money that goes to the kids, right? You can knock off all that waste. Guess what happens? You may not need 200 grand a year to live on. You may need 150. So now your nut is 3 million instead of 4. Do you see? So figure out how much you need, 5% interest, get that cash flow. Then figure out how much you have, calculate your gap. Three ways to reduce it. Boom your business and make it so it's sellable. Make it so it's sellable. There's a way to do that. Number two, take a chunk of money while you're making it, set it off to the side, and protect the principal of what you're setting off to the side. Don't be gambling it in the markets and speculating and doing all that nonsense. You can do that with other money. This is your financial independence money we're talking about. And number three, get rid of the waste. Knock off that extravagant spending. You do those three things, the minute you hit that $4 million mark, whatever it is for you, you are financially independent from that day forward for the rest of your life. The secret is, it doesn't matter how long it takes. It can take a few years, it can take the rest of your life. That is up to you. So all right, it's time for weather and traffic update. And when I come back, we're going to be continuing this discussion about financial independence and about achieving your financial prosperity for your life so you can pursue what is most important to you in your life, for you, your family, your friends, and your community. We'll be right back.
Private practice Millionaire Academy founder and talk radio host of Financial Power Hour, P. Christopher Music, shares the three secrets to achieving unlimited wealth. Financial prosperity can be achieved by following three primary principles illustrated in a PIE triangle. The P represents protecting assets and income from the 83 plus specific and measurable risks threatening the long-term affluence of a household. I equals income, which actually creates abundance and an overall improved financial condition. The E refers to expenses after income, earned in relation to funding the immediate and long-term goals of the household and its members. Each corner must work together to stay equal and strong and represent the overall financial condition of the family. What's important is the interrelationship of these three elements. To reach financial power and unlimited wealth, you must raise each corner of the pie triangle. Discover additional secrets in achieving a lifetime of financial success when you visit the blog page at pchristophermusic.com. This is the Financial Power Hour with Prosperity Coach Christopher Music. Make contact at 727-588-1540. And now, here's Christopher Music.
Well, welcome back, everyone. This is the Financial Power Hour. I'm Christopher. And we're having a discussion today about, you know, personal financial planning, financial independence, some of the things I don't always get to talk to you about because I have all these really incredible guests usually on my show who bring different perspectives into business and goals and income and all these different aspects. So today we're going to talk about more about the financial planning side of things. And one of the questions I get is, how in the world do you invest money? Okay, well, let's talk about that. Well, as I said before the break, when you're a business owner, you recognize how your assets are allocated. Now let's take a dental office. Let's take an owner of a dentist office. This person probably has, you know, let's say $1 million dental office. They have maybe $200,000 or $300,000 sitting in an individual retirement account and a house and a few other assets. Let's just say mid-career, you know, mid-40s, let's say, and some debt that has to be handled. Now, we go to talk about how to invest the money. So the first place we're going to look is what the client's liquid assets are. Well, of course, it's the IRA or maybe a brokerage account that has some mutual funds in it. So when we take a look at risk tolerance, which is the question that every advisor is going to ask, well, I want to make some money in my retirement accounts or my brokerage account here, so what risk am I willing to assume? That's always the first question. Always answer the question, what risk am I willing to assume? And then from there, you can derive the probable rates of return. It's always the novice investor who asks, so you know, what's your rate of return? What's the track record? That doesn't mean anything until you determine what risk there is. But here's the problem with risk, especially for a business owner. Most financial people will look at your account and manage your account. And that's all well and good if you take a, you know, $300,000 IRA and say, okay, the risk tolerance for this person, 45 years old, dentist, whatever, is a moderately aggressive account. Okay, fine. So let's just take that in a bubble and call that IRA moderately aggressive. But when we take a look at the household as the entity for which we're applying risk tolerance, the picture changes drastically. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean is that if we're taking your whole household as an entity rather than just your retirement account, then we must take into consideration the risk factor of your practice or your small business. All right, so how do we figure that out? Well, it's a multiple of earnings, just like publicly traded companies are valued. Let me explain. The S&P 500, Standard & Poor's 500 Index, which is about 500 of the largest companies in the country, are valued based on a price-to-earnings ratio. Basically, what that means is that an investor is willing to invest to get certain income or earnings from the profits of those companies. All right, so let's say that it's around 20 times earnings. It fluctuates. I don't know what it is exactly today, but let's say it's 20 times earnings. So what that basically means is an investor will invest a dollar or $20 to receive a dollar of earnings. That's basically what it means. Okay, well, that's the risk of that particular index. What is the multiple of a professional practice or a small business? Well, in the professional services arena, $1 million practice with a single doctor or even a partnership is going to trade probably at about 2 to 3 times earnings. 2 to 3 times, not 20 times, 2 to 3. Because the risks that are inherent in that doctor's office are infinitely greater than the 500 largest companies in the United States. So now we have $1 million income of asset that is now valued at about $600,000, maybe. Okay. So that tells us that that practice is 7 to 10 times riskier than the S&P 500. So now when we add that largest asset of that household in with the IRA and other assets, wow, our risk profile has gone off the charts, hasn't it? So then we take a look at the IRA and say, well, gee, we're moderately aggressive in the IRA. We have this practice over here. And of course, we have some real estate too. And then 2008 hits again. All of a sudden, we realize we were way too speculatively invested. That's a problem, isn't it? And when I do my seminars, I always ask the question of all the doctors in the room, does your advisor ever talk to you about the inherent riskiness of your practice and risk tolerance of everything else you got going? Nope. Nope. It's a big omission that we have in our profession because we're not looking at that household owning that high risk asset in that small business. So you see, that is why I'm a proponent of controlling risk. You control risk by controlling your business, by being a good business manager, by having your ethics and your discipline in on your business and hiring intelligent, well-meaning people, hardworking people, and being a good business person, business manager. You control that part of your life. Then when you look at investing outside that business or practice or whatever it is, then we start conservative because you have no safe place. Where's your safe place? If you have mortgage on your home, your home's not paid off, and if you have your all of your other retirement assets in risky market stocks and so on, where's your safe haven? You have none. Do you see the problem? So when 2008 comes around, we get a triple smack in the face. The business goes down in value because of people are not spending. Your retirement accounts are down because the market's crashed, and your real estate in this case went down. And how many people do you know that were 55, 60 years old saying, I'm going to retire, I'm good, I'm all set up, and all of a sudden after 2008 comes around and says, well, gee, now I got 5 or 10 years just to get back to even. I know way too many of them. I know you do too. Unnecessary. So the moral of the story with investing is control. Be in control. Throwing our money into some mutual fund somewhere is not being in control. I'm sorry, it's not. What is in control is having a very intelligent investment strategy. You see, before we ever invest any money for our clients or anyone for that matter, we write up a full investment policy statement. I have a 6-page one. Investment policy statement, what's that? It determines how we're going to invest money before dollar number one goes anywhere. Every professional does that. Every mutual fund manager does that. Every pension fund manager does that. Why aren't we doing it in our households? Huh. Well, it's probably an indicator of why we're not getting the results that these super smart investment guys are getting. Ah. See, now we're starting to get somewhere. And when we do invest money, we invest in areas where we can control, like costs. You know, there's no reason to pay a whole bunch of hidden fees in mutual funds. And there's studies that show that some of the average fees can be as high as 4% inside a mutual fund. With all the trading, all the activity, and all the stuff that's going on, all that friction against the returns. No, we want to use really low-cost options, whether they be, you know, exchange-traded funds called ETFs or whether they're institutional mutual funds that if we have some ability to get access to those, very, very low fees. But, of course, they're managing, you know, maybe a minimum account size might be $10 million. So we have to find a way to leverage some of these investment options that aren't typically available to the masses, you know. So we want to focus on keeping those costs low and having an investment strategy in place before we ever go forward. Because the worst way to invest is to do it with chasing return. Oh, this mutual fund did 10% a year for the last 5 years. Let's just go invest in that. And of course, we know it's never going to repeat in as far as future returns. So what happens? Well, we chase returns. We're always going after the next best manager. Well, that's the quickest way to the poorhouse. Not to mention, because every investment strategy, no matter what it is going to be in favor in certain market environments and out of favor in other market environments. It's just how it is. So the only way, in my view, to approach investment management is to be in it for the long term. This is a lifetime strategy. This is not something that we just go for the next big thing. That's what the people who end up losing all their money do. So, by acting as a professional investor, a prudent investor, we're going to really control those points. The last thing I want to say about investing is not to listen to the financial media. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm on financial media, but don't listen to the financial media. Here's why. It's always fear. It's fear, it's fear, fear, fear. Is there more fear? The more fear, because there's fear. And because of all the fear, we have to be fearful. And so the market's going to crash tomorrow, and it's financially struggling today, and on and on and on and on and on. Go live your life. Go live your life. Have a strong strategy. Know what you're doing. Read books on investing. You see? Follow investment strategies that have always worked. You see? There are very simple strategies that always work. You don't have to be out there trying to time the markets or trying to be a stock picker or something like that. The simple, straightforward asset allocation strategy and maintain it. Pick really good funds or companies and manage that. Manage your risk, manage your discipline. Don't listen to all the news and go live your life. And you'll get so much further ahead than constantly trying to figure out who's got the next best thing. And gee, we're going to learn how to do day trading, and we're going to do this and that and something else to try to make money. Make money in your business. Be prudent with the profits you've made to reinvest more conservatively to manage the risk in your household, to bring it down. So that when economic catastrophes occur, and they will again, you're not sitting there going, what happened? You're going to be in a much better position to protect yourself. Am I making sense to you? I hope so. Because we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of this other financial stuff that I want you to hear today. You won't want to miss it.
Private practice Millionaire Academy founder and talk radio host of the Financial Power Hour, P. Christopher Music, explains how to live your art and promote your brand. Professionals dedicated to pursuing excellence in their chosen field recognize that every profession, from hardcore scientist to abstract artist, have both science and art in that particular field. Science is a branch of knowledge or study dealing with a body of facts or truths. Art is the quality, production, expression of what is beautiful and appealing. Every professional applies the science of his subject to create an effect. The individual aesthetics applied to the science to create unique results is the art form, wholly unique to that individual. This becomes the brand. Your brand is your warranty to the customer, the assurance that the artistic application of the science of what you do will afford them the results they seek. Discover the secrets to living your art and promoting your brand. Visit the blog page at pchristophermusic.com. Welcome back to the Financial Power Hour with Christopher Music. Online at pchristophermusic.com.
All right, folks, we're back to the Financial Power Hour here on AM 1380, The Biz. And before the break, we talked about this investment approach and the idea that we really need to be professional investors or just don't do it. You know, and that is really the main point. I say, Christopher, how in the world do I become a professional investor? Okay, so let's start with a couple of books I'm going to recommend that you read. These are fundamental books. These are books that really everyone should have in their library. Every person in any economy should have in their library. Book number one, written in 1754 by Benjamin Franklin, called The Way to Wealth. Pick it up on Amazon, $8. The next book, The Richest Man in Babylon by George Clason, C-L-A-S-O-N. It's still like a perennial bestseller. Richest Man in Babylon, wonderful book. Next one, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Think and Grow Rich, wonderful book. There are others. There are many, many others. But those are the ones that I would start as a fundamental education in financial prosperity. Because these are timeless books. They have always worked. But you know, you're busy doing what you do. You love what you're doing, hopefully. Probably need to take a little bit of a shortcut because, you know, it's easy for me to say. I've spent 23 years of my life in this profession. I've spent thousands and thousands of hours of research trying to delineate and break down and make this whole financial planning thing work. You see, the question becomes, where do we go for this kind of help? There are professionals who focus on different aspects of your financial planning experience. So let's talk about your team. You know, every successful business has a financial team. Your household's a business, therefore you should have a financial team. So who's on your team? Well, first of all, you should have an accountant. If you're a business owner, you have to have an accountant. They're brilliant people, and they make it so that you can run your business. You know the financial condition of your business. And of course, many of them do tax returns, which is the reporting of your household and your business financial transactions. Now, one caution I'll give you is that accountants do accounting. Don't get upset with an accountant if he doesn't help you save money in taxes. Not all accountants will do that. Some are tax preparers, not tax planners. One of the biggest criticisms I get of accountants, well, he doesn't help me save taxes. Well, is that part of his services? Well, I don't know. Well, his job is to do your tax return and to keep your business books as correct as possible and reporting done properly. If he's a tax planning accountant or tax planner, then he can add those services on, probably for a fee. Okay? But he's worth it. If they're good tax planning accountants, they're worth it. So you want to definitely have an accountant in your corner. Number two, an attorney. A really good attorney. Business contracts, things like that, but not to mention asset protection. They know how to do limited liability companies, limited partnerships, different kinds of trusts, different kinds of estate planning tools. Very important to have them in your corner. And then we want to take a look at, in my opinion, a financial advisor, one who has a system. Now, every financial advisor is different. There's no real standard of financial planning in my industry. Unfortunately, it's a very imprecise field, just because it never really developed into a science. So financial advisor is definitely someone. Now, most financial advisors get compensated through investment management fees and through insurance commissions, which is fine. That's how we get paid. The only time I object or have a problem with that is if the value is not created for that payment. You see, one criticism is like, oh, these financial advisors make all this money. Well, of course, we make money, but we provide value. I mean, gee, if we can keep you invested when the markets crash and you don't sell off everything at a loss, is what fee is that worth? You see what I mean? So there's a very important part here, and that's one's individual responsibility. You are responsible for your financial condition. No advisor is, no accountant is, no attorney is. You are. And you have the responsibility of choosing your partners correctly. So, choose the great accountant. Choose the great attorney. Choose a great business consultant or coach to help you boom your business from an objective point of view. That's critical. And find a great financial advisor. Now, I'm going to wrap up here by just sharing with you a little bit about what I do. I am a financial planner. I have been for 23 years. In 2008, when everything went to Crazyville, I started to create a new financial planning system because the one that I was familiar with wasn't working. So I did this 5,000 years of research, and I put together and codified a whole new subject called econologics. Econologics. It's a new word. I had to coin it. And basically, here's what it means. Econologics is taken from the ancient Greek. The first part of the word is economy. If you look at the 1953 Oxford English Dictionary, you will see that the first definition of economy is the management of a household. Came from the Greek word oikonomos. Logi, study of, ecos, practices and skills. So econologics is literally the study and the practices and skills of the financial management of a household, which is what financial planning seeks to do as a profession. You're going to find that your experience, your financial experience, is broken down into 9 different elements. Every financial transaction you ever have is in 9 elements. Your financial plan, the quality thereof, your policy and procedures, the rules, the natural laws, the truths by which you are managing your financial affairs, your business, your income earning potential, you're putting money away to create future income assurance, getting out of debt and managing your credit, your estate plan, your asset protection plan, your tax plan, and your investment plan, all encompass your 9 elements of your financial experience. Then we have to determine what an optimum financial condition looks like versus one that's not optimum. We have to get the concept of, if my household was being managed financially in a certain way, what would it look like if it were being managed perfectly? If I had the perfect investment plan, the perfect asset protection plan, the perfect tax plan, the perfect estate plan, get the idea. Only then can we measure where we are. So I developed a diagnostic tool called the Financial Prosperity Index. So if you want to check it out for yourself, go to financialprosperityindex.com. And there's a 100 question questionnaire assessment, and it will take you just a few minutes to complete it. Do it with you and your spouse or significant other. Sit down, 100 questions, and it will create a graph that will show you what your household condition is compared to what I consider to be the optimum. And from there, we can basically correct the points that are out so that we all can have a better optimal financial experience. You see, that is what is what's called results-based financial planning. And because of that, we have looked at all the different elements of how to invest, how to asset protect, how to do our estate planning, our taxes, and so on, to get the optimal results as much as possible across the whole spectrum of our financial experience. And that's what this show is about. That's what everything we do in the private practice millionaire model is about for private practice professionals. But at the end of the day, I want you to have an incredible financial experience. And Econologics is here to help you do that. As a system, as Econologics financial advisor, we are beholden to the system to get results, predictable and consistent results. That's what we're going for. So go to www.financialprosperityindex.com and check out that questionnaire. Take the questionnaire, and one of our people from our office will go over it with you individually so that you can see where you stand and get some immediate action steps that you can take to improve your financial experience. That's what I want for you. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Financial Power Hour. For more information on prosperity principles and how to apply them to your life and your business, visit Christopher's personal website at pchristophermusic.com or connect with him on Facebook at facebook.com/pchristophermusicauthor. You may also call Christopher's office at 727-588-1540 to request more information or arrange for him to be a guest speaker at your next event. That's 727-588-1540 or visit pchristophermusic.com.